Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Fantasy Freeway presented by the Red Light Sports Network and sponsored by Cover That Spread. In today's show, we will be discussing fantasy football strategy, salary cap, trends, predictions, and anything else relevant to help you win your season-long or weekly fantasy games. For more information on fantasy sports, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com fantasy page and always play responsibly.
Good evening, everyone. I am Troy Otradovic, joined with no co-hosts again this week as J.A. has been bogged down with things at home and at work, and I'm starting to think that he's giving me the cold shoulder. You know, maybe it's because he just gets mad at me because I tell him we're going to play people. I don't know, but I am without J.A. again this evening. I do want to mention, though, that Fantasy Freeway is sponsored by Cover That Spread. Make sure that you check them out on Wednesday night, Wednesday evenings at 6:30. J.A. talks about soccer plays, college football plays, NFL plays, and they are a corporate sponsor of the Red Light Sports Network and a primary sponsor of Fantasy Freeway. And the nice thing is, even though I'm missing J.A. again, I have a very special guest tonight, and it is the managing editor of the Red Light Sports Network, Kevin Cunningham. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing swell. Just hit the road. How are you guys doing?
Well, you saw my tweet. I broke another phone, Kevin. I broke another phone. It is. Two phones in 3 months. And the same thing. You text me. My screen went white. Maybe it's you. Maybe you broke my phone. I'm trying to think back when my original phone broke. I'm not sure if you had tweeted me or texted me that day. But it makes sense that I can blame someone. I can't blame myself. You know, I can't blame myself because it's the same thing. My wife is looking at me and just rolling her eyes like, really? You break another phone. And it's not like I dropped them, Kevin. I actually take very good care of my phones. I just don't know. I am not a phone guy. So, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe I got to go back to the old soup can and the string. I mean, maybe that'll be the best way to go. What do you think?
I'm down for that. Have a little walkie-talkie system going.
Yeah, why not? So it's been a while since I talked to you. I know you've been putting out on Saturday. And before we get into Fantasy Freeway, we got a 30-minute show. A lot of jam-packed stuff this week. But I want to let the listeners know, not only is Kevin our managing, Kevin puts out a top 25 preview. And so just give the listeners a little bit of a preview of what you do every Saturday, buddy.
Yeah, every Saturday morning, games typically start at noon Central, 1 Eastern, and or actually it's 11, 12, something like that. I can't even remember right now. No, it's 11 o'clock. College is 11. But anyway, the AP Top 25 polls come out each week, and I just run through each Top 25 game, so not, you know, technically the Top 25 games, but for the AP ranking number one team like Ohio State, I'll go over their matchup. If it's against a team like Appalachian State or Grambling or whatever, then I'll write one or two sentences about it. No big deal. But if it's a team like LSU playing Texas A&M or whatever big matchup is going on. Last week there were three huge Pac-12 matchups, and that was like the only big matchups that were going on were in the Pac-12. But so I extensively talked more about those, giving them, you know, a paragraph, two paragraphs, nothing crazy, but just more for the more interesting games, and then a sentence or two if it's Wisconsin playing against a high school team. Basically. So each Saturday morning I've got my picks out there and little tidbits of information for you guys to just read about each top 25 game that's going on.
And that's why I wanted you to come in tonight. I knew J.A. was questionable again. And you probably heard me in the intro. I'm starting to think that he's just giving me the cold shoulder. Maybe he's not enjoying my aggressive style when we're setting our DraftKings lineup. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But there are some good matchups this week, Kevin. And as we in NCAA, like you said, you know, sarcastically, Wisconsin playing high school teams. They played Hawaii last week, and I thought actually they should have beat Hawaii by more than they did. But when I look at the college football season, now we're starting to get into conference matchups. And when you're talking fantasy football, you almost got to take these ridiculous fantasy point numbers out of DraftKings because now you're getting into rival games. You know, for example, this weekend, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I had mentioned last week Skyler Howard from West Virginia was a great value play, and he actually produced, and he put up 28 points for $5,800. It was a great value play. And I had Matt Johnson, who had less points, and I spent nearly 10 grand on him. But, you know, what are your thoughts as we move forward, Kevin? Now we're actually starting to get into conference play. How exciting is that?
Oh, definitely exciting. I mean, because, you know, like we just briefly went over, you don't have these teams that are playing garbage schools. And so, like you mentioned, and I think that's a huge point to make for a daily or weekly for college football, for instance, show, as far as DraftKings is concerned or any, you know, weekly football game, fantasy game, is that these teams are playing conference teams now. So, you know, Wild Leonard Fournette is probably, you know, up there in price, and he's going against SEC defenses, which I guess this year as opposed to, you know, the previous few years, maybe they're not as high. And so a guy like Fournette is still a good play, but that's the one thing you want to keep after, is that occasionally you'll have a top team that can put up 60 points a game play an out-of-conference school randomly in week 7 or week 5 or like this week. I'm sure there's a team out there in the top 25 that's playing a Lamar or a Southern, you know, and so do you want to go with Georgia's quarterback who's maybe a little shaky and is more higher priced because he's Georgia's quarterback and he's going against, you know, Alabama or something, just as an example, or do you want to pay a lower price for a guy from Oklahoma State maybe who maybe doesn't put up as big a numbers historically, but if he's going against a team that has a terrible defense out of conference, you just want to look for those matchups for teams that can score a lot and for the ones that aren't playing in conference foes. I think that's the biggest thing, is that you have a team here and there that even if it's the middle of the season, they randomly have a game scheduled against a, you know, just a team that's out of conference and not on their level. So that's something to always keep in mind if you're looking for cheaper plays.
Yeah, that's a great point. And talking about bad defenses, and I want to get right into the show, I do want to talk a little bit about last week. And just to recap, I did it solo last week. And for those that listen in loyally every week, I had mentioned there was a must play last week. And you had mentioned this name. And it was Fournette, Kevin. I said he was a must play last week just due to the matchup. And he didn't disappoint. 41.1 fantasy points last week. So he was my definite, put him on your roster no matter what the cost is. He was going to get his points. He got his points. I was okay with the quarterback play. I had said the value pick, my value pick last week, Kevin, I want to get your thoughts on this kid. I'm not sure how much you've looked at him, but Skyler Howard of West Virginia, 28 fantasy points last week. Now, this week he's got a much tougher matchup against Oklahoma, but what are your thoughts on Skyler Howard of West Virginia and what he's done with that offense? He has him ranked 23rd, and offensively, he looks like he's got a pretty decent arm, and he can use his legs to keep plays alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise to me that West Virginia has a powerful offense going forward, no matter, you know, who the quarterback is, running back is. They just always recruit good athletes, and so you don't have to be, you know, Andrew Luck coming out of college to be able to sling it to guys that are five-star recruits or high-end four-star recruits with a ton of speed. And so, you know, making safe passes and getting yards after the catch, that works for quarterback fantasy points. Doesn't make a difference. So, to hear that a West Virginia quarterback is doing well fantasy-wise is no surprise to me. Unfortunately, I haven't done any college football fantasy stuff this year or last year as far as daily, you know, leagues go or anything like that with DraftKings. So I'm, you know, somewhat lacking in knowledge of that. But, you know, these schools like Oklahoma State, like Texas Tech is a perfect example that they're, your middle-of-the-road team, but their quarterback is going to put up oodles of numbers just because of the sheer volume of attempts that he has. Like, they were playing TCU last week, and I knew that game was going to be close because Texas Tech always has a really good offense. They were at home. TCU's pass defense is poor, and so Texas Tech's going to sling it all over the field, which they did. I don't know how many fantasy points the quarterback had, but I'm sure he had a ton because they put up, you know, 40-plus points. So any of these offenses that sling it around a lot or just are in tune with running the ball like Fournette, if you have a top talent like that, to me you have to go with guys like that that you know are going to, you know, attempt 50 passes or are going to get 30 carries. You know, a guy like Fournette is just a talent that you can't really – it's very hard to pass up. Yes, he's worth, you know, a ton and probably maybe the most out of any running back in college football regardless of the matchup, but he's absolutely worth it to this point. He hasn't in any matchup since he's, you know, gotten the full load as LSU's back.
Yeah, it's like you were listening to the show last week, buddy, because that matchup you talked about – I said, take the skill position players in that game because it's going to be, in my mind, a high-scoring game. You know, like you said, middle-of-the-road teams. But those are the guys you want to really reach out for. Staying on Texas Tech, though, when Mahomes is healthy as the quarterback of Texas Tech, he's a guy that I'm always looking, if he's in the game I'm playing, to get him in the game. Right now, he's a little dinged up and limited practice this week. So, you know, you got to kind of watch that with Texas Tech, but they're playing Baylor this week, Kevin. So I had brought you on the show tonight, not necessarily to talk specific players, but talk about some matchups, because the one thing I found in college football daily is it's not like NFL daily where you can scan over 15 or 16 games and take individual players. I found when I have success winning in college football daily, I'm taking a lot of guys from one team that I think have a great matchup where they're going to put up a lot of points and a lot of yards. So I'm looking at this Texas Tech-Baylor game. Now, I know Mahomes is hurt, and that could really affect what Texas Tech does. But what about this Baylor team, Kevin? I mean, you're a college football guy. Baylor ranked fifth right now. I like this Baylor club this year. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love them. Last year, I loved them. I thought they were going to go undefeated, go into the college football playoff. I was in love with that team last year. And that was with Bryce Petty, who I loved for that system. Our file system in Baylor is just to either throw it, you know, a simple wide receiver screen, bubble screen, whatever, getting their, you know, skill players in space, which their skill players are ridiculous. If they're starting to recruit in Baylor, there's no question of that Baylor and TCU, both of them, are going to be, you know, if not perennial powers, they're going to be in the top 25 year in, year out. That's not changing. It's not a fluke. All you have to do is look at the recruits that they're getting at the skill position. Because, like this year, I mean, the wide receiver core is absolutely insane. So Seth Russell, the new quarterback who stepped in for Petty, again, I'm not sure fantasy-wise how he's done, but I know he's put up big numbers, which – you know, obviously would lead to bigger fantasy points. But
let me just interrupt you there about what Seth Russell did against Rice.
Okay.
And it's not – well, it is actually pretty huge. But when you look at the stat line, it looks pretty modest, 277 yards. However, he was 12 of 16, Kevin, 277 yards, 6 touchdowns. His quarterback – rating for college, the college rating a little bit different than the NFL, but his college quarterback rating against Rice, just against Rice, 344.2. That was his quarterback rating against Rice. That is ridiculous. 37.78 fantasy points last week. He's actually my must play this week. He is worth the $9,300. They're playing Texas Tech. This is a game, like you said, Kevin, if Mahomes is healthy and plays, they could score a little bit against Baylor and make Seth Russell have to continue to throw. But the thing is, they're going to continue to throw even if they're up by 21. I like Seth Russell.
Yep.
He's a must-play quarterback this week against Texas Tech. Spend the $9,300, folks. I mean, I have not seen, Kevin, a 344.2 quarterback rating in college anytime. And when you look at his season stats, he's got a mere 218.9 passer rating. He's thrown for 995 yards already, 15 touchdowns. I mean, he's a guy that you got to get in your lineup. He's worth the $9,300. He's going to give you 35 to 40 fantasy points every week. I know that Baylor's getting into a little bit tougher competition now, but I look at this kid, Kevin, and I think against Texas Tech, I think he's just going to light up the scoreboard. What are your thoughts there?
I would 100% agree. I think this year that Baylor is the best team in the Big 12. At the same time, I think TCU is going to be the one representing the Big 12 in the college football playoff this year, and I think they're going to play Ohio State eventually in the title game and lose. The only reason I say TCU is going to win is because they're at home against Baylor, and after last year's game, there's no question that they're going to want blood after, you know, being up so big and Baylor just coming back and stealing it from them. So TCU is going to want that game. It's at home, so I think TCU is going to win. But as far as the best team in the Big 12 goes, top to bottom, both sides of the ball, I think Baylor's the best team. You know, regardless of who plays quarterback for Texas Tech, I think they're going to put up points. I think that Baylor's got a good defense, but it's Texas Tech. They're going to put up points. Like you said, if Baylor's up 21, they're still going to throw it. So Seth Russell's a guy that week in, week out, regardless of who they're playing, whether it's Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Texas, although Texas is not looking too hot in college football right now over these last few years. But Big 12 defenses as a whole, you can basically disregard them. So Baylor's offense, TCU's offense, Trevon Boykin, Seth Russell, it really doesn't matter who they play. They're always going to be top-dollar guys because of the stats they put up. But there's a reason why they're top-dollar guys, because they put up those stats and they throw it a lot. And, you know, it's just the systems they work with and the players that they're throwing to. There's no question that if you're going to pay a high price, you want to pay a high price for a guy like Fournette or a guy like Boykin or a guy like Russell, who you know is going to give you that top, you know, just a top fantasy performance.
Yeah, and there's when you look at Baylor's receivers, there's a kid here that I've played. I've used him this year. And Corey Coleman seems to be the top-notch guy that Russell's looking at. I mean, Coleman's stats are unbelievable, Kevin. 3 games, 17 catches, 460 yards, 8 touchdowns. Now, he's a little pricey at $7,900, so if you're going to have Russell and Coleman, you're going to suffer in other areas. I actually like the second option at Baylor, and that's Jay Lee. 3 games, only 14 catches, but 255 yards. Not great yardage, 85 per game, but he gets in the end zone too. So he's only $5,500. So those people listening in, if you want to play Seth Russell and you want to try to get a better running back, which I would actually recommend instead of going Russell and Coleman, take a chance on Jay Lee, $5,500, and he's providing anywhere from, last game he was down, 15 fantasy points, but on average about 22 fantasy points, and for $5,500, that's a great value. And you can't go wrong with Baylor wide receivers. So if you want to go high-end and you want to go Coleman and Russell and figure out how to fit that in and go a little less on running backs, go for it, because there are some running backs this week that I think are in that $5,000 range that are going to have pretty big games. And I'm going to switch over, Kevin. I know you're probably not a big follower of Pitt, but Connor is out, and there's a kid called Quadri Olison. Now, he didn't have many carries last week, but from what I'm hearing in Western PA, against Virginia Tech, I think Olison's going to have a pretty big game, and he's only $4,900. What are your thoughts on a Pitt-Virginia Tech game?
I think that Virginia Tech is, you know, I'm not 100% sure what to make of them. Before I get into that, a third wide receiver that you could look at for Baylor is KB Cannon. I'm not sure how much he's worth, but that just shows the depth Baylor has. If I wanted a cheap option and went with KB Cannon for Baylor, that's another option you could look at, because he's unbelievably talented as well. So that just speaks to Seth Russell and the number of targets he has. But as far as the Pitt matchup with Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech is interesting to me. I'm an Ohio State guy, and so their last couple of meetings with Ohio State have, you know, been close, and obviously last year they beat them. But Virginia Tech typically doesn't seem to play up to its potential defensively against mediocre teams. And Pitt, I think, is a good team. I don't think they're great. you know, he's got really good players, Tyler Boyd, and I'm sure you know who he is, star wide receiver there. But I would just look at what Virginia Tech's defense is on average is doing against the run. I think that they're a spotty team. I think they've got a lot of talent, but I wouldn't be afraid of them because they're Virginia Tech's defense. And so if you believe highly in Pitt and their running back, then I would go with it because I don't think Virginia Tech just plays up to par when it comes to lesser games. And I'm not sure why that is. And realistically, it's Pitt. It's an in-conference game. Like I said, I think Pitt's a good team. So they should be ready for the task. They should, if they have a really good defense, like they supposedly do, then, you know, you shouldn't play certain players against them. But if you're confident in them, then I would back it. I wouldn't tell you not to.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get off the tree limb for a little bit, and I'm gonna have to plug our interview last night. I don't know if you had got my message last night. You would have loved this interview, and that's why I had sent you out a message if you wanted to join the show last night or listen in. We had Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch on the Red Light Sports Ramble last night, talking about his new book, Kevin, The Chase: How Ohio State Captured the First College Football Playoff. And I'll tell you what, Kevin, it's a must-read. I've got the book. It was sent to me. And I am not an Ohio State fan. I'm a Badger fan through and through. But I haven't been able to put this book down, Kevin. It is a great book about the national championship season. So for those people listening in, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com. Listen to our interview last night with Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch. Wrote the book, The Chase: How Ohio State Captured the First College Football Playoff. Great interview last night and a must read. Again, I'm a Wisconsin Badger guy and I'm reading about Ohio State. And it is a book that I cannot put down. Kirk Herbstreit does the foreword. I was sold after the first paragraph of that book, Kevin. So go check it out. It's a great book. I want to stay in the Big Ten, Kevin, and I want to go to the Maryland team, not because they're good, but how bad is that Maryland defense?
Well, who do they play?
Well, they're playing Michigan this week.
Okay. Well, I mean, Maryland, yeah, as a whole, their defense, I mean, their team, you know, there's not much I can remember on them. And so, you know, I've done my homework, you know, week in, week out, and as far as notable teams are concerned, I don't usually look at the just teams that are supposed to be mediocre or worse. There's very little that I know about them in general. And so for me to not know much about Maryland, I think speaks to that. So I'm not sure how terrible they are, but for me to not know much about them at all, I would assume speak to how bad their defense is.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot because they're bad. their defense is bad. So
yeah.
Here's my key to all the listeners in for Daily Fantasy College Football. Maryland doesn't play till 8 o'clock, so play an 8 o'clock game on Saturday and take Michigan players, especially quarterback and receiver, because Maryland cannot stop the pass. They played against some good quarterbacks and good passing offenses, but that defense is terrible. So that is my must-play-against team. Wherever you see Maryland, go to the team they're playing against, take their quarterback, take the running back, take a receiver, because they're going to get yards. Maryland's defense is terrible, Kevin. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but they are bad. They are very bad. And I don't say that. They just don't have playmakers, you know, and I'm not saying it's the coaching. I'm not saying that. They just haven't recruited good players on defense. And it's just a program that, you know, I've watched them over the first couple weeks of fantasy football, and they're just not good. Their defense is just terrible. But with 5 minutes left in the show, Kevin, you're a guy that, you know, does the top 25 matchup. When you're looking at favorable matchups this week for players, you don't have to name individual players, but some of the favorable matchups, some of the games maybe that you see being high scoring, because in college football, unlike NFL daily fantasy, I had 143 points last week, which in NFL daily football, I'd probably do pretty well. I literally got wiped last week. I didn't even finish close to the money. You've got to be closer to nearly 200 points in college football. So you need teams that are scoring touchdowns. You need teams that are putting up yards offensively. Give us a handful of teams outside of Baylor. We've talked about Baylor. That are those teams that can continuously put the ball in the end zone when they're playing week in and week out.
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned near the start of the show, Leonard Fournette is a guy that it doesn't matter who he plays, whether it's Alabama or whether it's Vanderbilt, Kentucky, you're going to want to play him. He's going to be worth it basically every single week until something crazy happens. But, I mean, you made a good point that it's college football. And so you don't need 100 points to do well. You need probably 200. And so you're looking for guys that are either playing just bad teams in conference or, like I said, random, you know, teams that are playing teams out of conference for basically a bye or a tune-up. But so as far as teams go, I think that realistically any Big 12 team that has a capable offense, whether it's Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma, another smaller key school would be Oklahoma State. They're actually pretty talented. And so, like I said, the defenses in the Big 12, there's none that you really want to avoid. I think Oklahoma's got a solid one. And there are pieces, you know, around a few defenses. Like, there are first-round talent on Baylor's defense. But as a whole, it's just not a great unit. So any, you know, Big 12 team, I would always look at Big 12 quarterbacks. If they tend to sling it a lot, or you have a running back that, you know, is picking up 25, 30 carries a game, you probably want to run with them. As far as the SEC is concerned, honestly, the SEC is a little mediocre in terms of offense. I think that Texas A&M is, you know, certainly has a good one, but outside of them, that's kind of the SEC's problem, is that they have quarterback issues kind of around the conference. And so, you know, while Texas A&M is a team to look for, and SEC defenses are down now as opposed to they were 5 years ago, I think that's a place you can look. I think that Oregon's defense, you saw it last week against Utah, that's a defense you want to target again. I mean, Oregon gave up, I think it was 42 points, 40-something against Eastern Washington. And that was after their all-star quarterback transferred to Oregon. So that defense is clearly, you know, there's something wrong there in Oregon. That's a team I would target against, any Big 12 team. I think Texas A&M's offense is legit. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, too. What you had mentioned, Michigan against Maryland, and Michigan is better than people think. I think that Harbaugh instantly helps them. And I just think that there are a number of defenses in the Big Ten that are porous, and Michigan is better than people think. I think Notre Dame, their running back, is he's certainly a player that will play on Sundays, and Notre Dame gets a ton of out-of-conference games. They get a lot of Pac-12 teams. And so whether they're playing a team like Cal or something, you know, just kind of your average mediocre team in the Pac-12, Notre Dame's always an offense you can look toward because that defense is stout. And so the offense is just going to get a ton of possessions just based on how good the defense is. So I think that any quarterback that's been for a lot, I think that there are just a number of good matchups you can use because of how lesser the talent is on defense of college football.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I wanted to just throw this out with Fournette. And so I said Seth Russell. I gave you my early must play, and as we're going to end the show, you got to play Fournette again. They play Eastern Michigan, Kevin.
There you go.
I mean, you're going to spend $10,000 on Fournette, and you're going to spend $10,000 on Russell, but you're probably looking at 80 points right there. And so now what you got to do is you got to kind of scour down, and you got to kind of take a look at those guys that are going to run you $4,000. But I'll tell you what. If you can figure out a way to get Fournette and Russell in your lineup together, you could end up winning this week. I mean, those are two guys that have very favorable matchups this week, so those are the must plays this week. I will put my sleeper out there, Kevin. I know we're in archive right now, but I know you're an Ohio State guy, not a Wisconsin guy. But Wisconsin running game, hasn't been where it has been in the past, but what are your thoughts on Taiwan Deal? Because he's a good value play in my mind at $5,800. I know he's sharing carries right now, but he had a pretty big game against Hawaii. And if you look at Wisconsin's schedule, Kevin, it is not that hard. And honestly, if Wisconsin does not make it to the championship game, there's problems there with Paul Christ. Because that schedule that Wisconsin has right now, when I look at it, they should win every game. I know they're conference games, and I know you got to play on Saturday, but when you look at that schedule, Wisconsin, in my mind, has probably the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. They don't really play anybody. But what are your thoughts on Taiwan Deal running back at Wisconsin? Is he worth $5,800 and putting in the game? I know they're playing Iowa this week. That's always a tough game, but I think Iowa's down a little bit this year. What are your thoughts on that game, real quick?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin as a whole wants to run the ball. And so I think that it takes watching them week in and week out and understanding what their offensive line play is like. I think that if you can count on the offensive line to push around your average Big Ten team, which there are a lot of them, you know, like you said, I don't think Wisconsin's this power team, but I think they are a solid enough team. And with the schedule, like you mentioned, I agree that I think that Ohio State plays Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game again, because I think that both teams realistically don't play anybody. But Wisconsin's is, you know, their schedule is terrible. And so they're always a team that if they do figure out the running game, and if that's their, you know, like you said, he was splitting carries, but if he's kind of the big play guy or he, you know, can break a couple off here and there, then, yeah, I mean, you want to look for the cheaper guys that have upside. And that's a strategy that I've heard in college football fantasy, is that you want to take your big guns like Russell and Fournette and just kind of play alongside them with guys that have high upside. And so if there's, you know, a terrible example is LSU, because they only have Fournette as a dangerous option, but if they were playing – say Oklahoma State had a terrible team, you know, it's in conference season, and so you don't have the easiest of matchups. But if you have a smaller dollar guy that's in, you know, that's playing for a top 25-esque team, you know, you want to target those players along with the big guns. And so Wisconsin's guys, I mean, throughout the year, if you can find a bargain with them, they're probably going to be a safe bet because of how bad their schedule is.
Yeah, right on. And like I said, Deal had over 100 yards, almost 140 yards last week. It was against Hawaii, but I did play him, and he panned out for me. And that's why I'm throwing it out there for people that may be looking at Wisconsin saying, well, they don't have that big-name running back this year, and they don't. And their offensive line is down a little bit. I think Wisconsin is down, but in a year, like we just said, they've got a schedule that is very favorable. And we were talking last night on the show about Ohio State's schedule, and really they don't play anybody till Michigan State. But again, yep, like Bill said last night, Kevin, and I had mentioned it about 2 minutes ago, it is college football, and you got to play the game. And these rival games, sometimes a team can go out, and all of a sudden they get hot one Saturday, and they knock off that team. And as Bill said, it's so hard to go undefeated that you could see either an Ohio State or Wisconsin stumble in the midst of their, what I call, lackluster schedules. I mean, there's no games I have circled on the Wisconsin schedule, Kevin. I'm so used to talking to Evan. I'm sorry, buddy. But there's no games I have circled, Kevin. None that excite me for Wisconsin this year. That's how boring I think their schedule is. I mean, and that's coming from a pure Wisconsin fan.
Yeah. Don't they get Nebraska at home?
Yeah, I believe they have Nebraska at home. I'd have to look at the schedule, but I haven't circled any. There's none of those games where I'm like, I must watch this game. It's almost right. Like, you know, I just look at it and say, hey, they're gonna play, and they should win. But I think they're gonna drop a game somewhere along the line also, and you know it happens. It'll be where they can't get the running game going, and they're going to put the ball in Stave's hands, and Stave's going to make a mistake, and it'll cost them a game. I really believe that'll happen. even though they've got it paved perfectly to play in the Big Ten championship game. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any huge test for Wisconsin, so I'm not sure how good of a team they really are to play in the Big Ten championship. But, again, if you get there, you've earned your right to be there by winning games. But I see this Wisconsin team as still needing to add some pieces to be competitive. I mean, they are what they are, Kevin, in my mind, unless you think I'm off my rocker. But I think Wisconsin's no more than a fringe top 25 team. Even if they win all their games and play in the Big Ten championship, I think where their talent is, they are a fringe top 25 team. What are your thoughts?
I would agree. I think that their offensive line just hasn't gelled together, and I don't think it's always kind of easy to point to Wisconsin and say that, well, you know, this year their offensive line seems to be down, and you look at recruiting and you don't see these, high-profile five-star guys on their line. It's just a matter of developing and gelling as an offensive line, and then you have that really good running back and just the system of feeding them the ball over and over. And so historically, Wisconsin's running backs do really well. Historically, their offensive lines are together for a couple of years, and they, for the most part, just know each other. They know the system, and they turn into really good guys. This year's group just hasn't – I mean, there's – I think the right guard and right tackle are new from a year ago. I'm not 100% certain on their left side and the center, but I know that this Wisconsin offensive line isn't, one of the great offensive lines in school history. And like you said, Wisconsin's backfield doesn't have that marquee guy either that's going to run for 2,000 yards. So I don't think Wisconsin's passing game is good either. I don't believe in Stave. I think their defense is probably solid. Like you said, they're, even if they won out from this point on out and played Ohio State or Michigan State in the Big Ten title game, it's just the talent, and it's just Wisconsin's, your 25th, your 30th, your 20th maybe best team in the country, even if they win a bunch of games because of their schedule. And it's a shame, but it's just the way the schedule works. It's what the Big Ten is right now. I think that Penn State is probably going to get better as years go on. I think that Michigan's definitely going to get better. I think Ohio State and Michigan State are going to stay really solid. It's just a more down year in the Big Ten, and a lot of people like to crush on the Big Ten, but there are, if you look at the top two teams in the AP poll, you've got them right there in the Big Ten. So, the Big Ten.
Yeah, and I got you on the show. I know we were talking fantasy. We got off that going into archive time, but it's pretty cool. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I want to get your thought on this real quick before the crazy studio lady who cuts us off in about 5 minutes. You got Michigan State, Ohio State 1-2 in the AP poll, and it's great to see. I'm a Big Ten guy. I love seeing success in the Big Ten. But like you said, I think the Big Ten is down overall, talent-wise, this year. But you got two of the best teams in the country. They're going to end up playing each other. Only one of them can play in the Big Ten championship. Is there any way in the world, Kevin, that we can see both Ohio State and Michigan State in the playoff? Or is one of them going to eliminate each other late in the season? What if they're both undefeated when they play that game? The loser doesn't go to the Big Ten championship. The winner goes, wins the Big Ten championship. Can we see two Big Ten teams in the playoff?
I think you can for a couple reasons. I think that Michigan State doesn't have the respect nationally that Ohio State has. And so if Michigan State knocked off Ohio State, then you're looking at Ohio State as kind of your at-large, so to say, bid into the college football playoff. And I think that if they lost just to Michigan State, and if they start beating teams by like 20, 30 points like they're supposed to, then I think that you can make the case for a one-loss Ohio State team against Michigan State, as opposed to a one-loss TCU or Baylor or a one-loss USC or a one-loss SEC team. I think that Ohio State has that much national respect this year just based on what they did last year. And so I think that the key for it to happen is Michigan State winning because the problem with Ohio State beating Michigan State and Michigan State only have one loss heading into the college football playoff, final meeting to determine who those four teams are is that Michigan State's big victory is over Oregon. And Oregon is not looking like Oregon. So you have Utah beating them by 20, 30 points. And so a win for Michigan State over Oregon doesn't look as promising. So that's the other problem with the Big Ten now, is that you have all these mediocre teams alongside Michigan State, Ohio State, and so they can't pick up quality wins in the process of the regular season. And so the worse Oregon does, the worse it looks for Michigan State. So if Michigan State has one loss and their only big victory is over Oregon, who is kind of down this year, so to say, then I can see a one-loss Big 12 team overtaking a Michigan State. I can't see a one-loss team anywhere in the country overtaking Ohio State if their only loss is to Michigan State.
That's some good points. And again, too, Kevin, we all know it all depends on what else happens around them, too. I think that for it to be a possibility for that game, one of them will have a loss. I really think that they've got to stay status quo from here on out. They've got to enter that game 1-2. If they enter that game 1-2, you could see two Big Ten teams in the playoff. If one of them falters somewhere along the line, and let's say it's let's even say it is Michigan State number one, well, it could still happen then. But if Michigan State was number one and maybe Ohio State was number three, and Michigan State wins and Ohio State has that one loss, I mean, you could then possibly see them not getting in. I think they've got to stay status quo, though. I think they've got to stay 1-2 until that game. And if one of them drops out of one of those spots, I think you're only seeing one Big Ten team in the playoff. And then the controversy is going to go again, because I think Ohio State and Michigan State are both deserving of being in the playoff this year.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I honestly think that no SEC team is going to get in, because I think that there are a lot of really good SEC teams, but there's no powerhouse SEC teams. I think that they either have a quarterback issue, or if you're a team like LSU, you're solely riding Leonard Fournette. And so I just think that Georgia's another team that is really running back reliant and just running the ball. And I don't think Georgia's defense is that spectacular and their passing game is not that great. So I just think you have a lot of really good teams. Don't get me wrong. You've got, you know, maybe three teams in the top 10, but I just don't think that any of them are good enough to separate themselves and survive the regular season with just one loss. So that was my big thing coming into this year in college football, was that no SEC team would make it, because you'd have a lot of really good teams just kind of beating up on each other. And to have quarterback issues is not something you want in the game of football, no matter, you know, what the level of play is. And I think the SEC has a lot of quarterback problems.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better, buddy. That's why I wanted you to come on the show today. And so for those that listened to the show in its entirety, hope you enjoyed the DraftKings version for 30 minutes, and hope you just enjoyed the overall football conversation for the last 15 minutes. Kevin, I could talk to you all night about college football and football in general, but I know you got to go hang out with your sweetheart. I know that's where you're going, and I've got to get ready for the Packer preview show tonight. So for those that have listened to Archived on Thursday night, make sure you join Evan and I tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central on the Red Light Sports Ramble. We are previewing Packers versus 49ers. You may want to listen to this one, folks, because Colin Kaepernick always plays like he is a god against the Green Bay Packers. So Evan and I will break this game down tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Kevin, thanks for coming on the show again. We still have a little bit of archive time. Let the listeners know where they can find your work, because you do some work for the Red Light Sports Network, but you do other things too. Let people know how they can read your stuff, because you do a lot with college football.
Yeah, I think college football is my main thing right now. I think that the NFL season is obviously going on, and I'll do, you know, the occasional NFL piece here and there. I think college basketball is, you know, coming up soon, so I'll definitely be writing more about that than I have in the past. But, yeah, college football every Saturday. Check out the RedLightSportsNetwork.com. I've got every top 25 team in their game each week up on the site, you know, by game time on Saturdays. The other thing that, you know, I'm doing is just basically freelance high school stuff in the Wisconsin area. And so if you want to follow me on Twitter for, you know, any of that, or just any college football post, college basketball, NBA season coming up, I basically try and cover the main sports that you guys want to cover and read about. So on Twitter, @KIDCUNI, that's my Twitter handle. But you know, all my stuff, anything that I post regarding any major sport in the country is over at the RedLightSportsNetwork.com.
Sounds good, buddy. You got to come on the show more.